If you have your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm not going to stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read two verses. That's it. I'm going to really just set this foundation up today for this new series. I break my cardinal rule, and that is to start a new series on a holiday week. Usually don't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway in Jesus' name. And so many are watching. If you're barbecuing or on your deck this morning and I done had you up dancing, you ought to be pretty primed for whatever today has, your jet skis or whatever you're doing. But get a little bit of this word today, because next week and the weeks following, you're going to get to meet one of my pastors and my mentors. Is Pastor Nate is going to be with us in a couple weeks. Great man of God, pastors two campuses down in Bedford, Michigan, and he just can't wait to come and be with us. And so we'll pause the series, of course, that week. But this week, I want to begin a series on the Beatitudes. It's a collection of sermons, and starts in Matthew chapter 5, called the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most famous sermons Jesus ever taught, and he begins with the Beatitudes, and it's really, really awesome. And these are really teachings for us to learn how to live as citizens of the kingdom. Amen. We're citizens of the kingdom. Yeah, we have citizenship of the United States. We celebrate this 4th of July, the signing of the Declaration. We're America's 249 years old. Thank God for America. You know, we're free because we get to do this without being fearful of being arrested in the parking lot or anything. Amen? There's other places in the world where you can't do this. Even in Africa, North Africa, you can't do this in public. But we can do this. The underground church in Iran or Iraq or China, they can't worship. They don't have the freedom, but we have the freedom. Because of our men and women in the military. And so as messed up as our nation may be, I thank God that I'm American. And here's the thing. God's placed you in this country for a reason. And we need to be aware of that and learn how to fight the right battles and learn how to pick our battles. But we're not going to really do it and see things that way if we're caught up in the politics and in the mess of this world. That's why I got good news for you. You can be part of something greater. That's called the kingdom of God. Amen? So Jesus, even though he lived in a very tumultuous and very division, very tenuous climate and culture as well as in Jerusalem, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, which we were able to go a few years back and loved it, it's very tension, a lot of tension over there. So Jesus is teaching this message right in the middle of all of that, how to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And so all year we've been talking about go and tell, go and share the gospel. And we've been doing it as a church. And if you heard Miranda, we get another chance at the beginning of next month, Watch Weekend. If you haven't been able to go to Africa or Ypsilanti, here's your opportunity. Registration is probably going to open next week, and we're going to need all the help we can get for people giving away backpacks and all of this great thing. And it's the first weekend in August. It's our church's anniversary. My mom and dad came and planted a church in August of 2002 is when we came to Belleville. And so we celebrate our anniversary, not just patty cake and us, but we give back to the community on our anniversary. And so that's what Watch Weekend is. If you're new to the church, Watch is an acronym for We Are the Church. And that's what we are. We're going to go and love on our community. And that Sunday we'll have water baptisms. It'll be a shorter service, and we're going to have a picnic outside and have an opportunity to do some of that on that Sunday. So first weekend of August. But all of the testimony, all of the witnessing and going and telling and sharing our faith is good. But how many know it's more effective when we are living the life? Yes. So this is a discipleship series, and I preached discipleship series in summer, just like last summer was the fruit of the Spirit. This is going to be the Beatitudes. And so this is how I'm calling the Beatitudes: go and be attitude. Jesus is saying go and be this attitude, these attitudes. Because it's possible to do these attitudes but not be these attitudes. You can, how many know you can give but not be a giving person? You can be nice but not be a nice person. You can even love a little bit but not be known for being a loving person. So these Beatitudes are, he's teaching us to become these attitudes, to be citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. Go and be attitudes. Amen. Thank you for that in the back. I'll take that. Amen. Jesus was always talking about becoming you know, you have church people and then you have disciples. And we want to be, go from church people to disciples, followers of Christ. And when you and I are following Christ, watch this, it changes who we are. It changes who we are. Jesus said like this in the same chapter previously, in the chapter 4, he called his disciples. And what did he say to Peter? They were fishermen. And he says, listen, you boys know how to catch fish. But as you follow me, I will make you. He didn't say teach you. I will make you become fishers of men. As you follow me, you'll learn to become a totally different person. You won't, I won't teach you how to catch men and for the kingdom. You'll become fishers of men. You can have the right attitude, but be the wrong person. And in order to get these and become these right attitudes, how many know we got to get rid of the wrong attitudes? How many know that sometimes church people can be the people that have the worst attitudes? Just look down your row. If their Bible's not open, they got an attitude. No matter what I say, they will not bring their Bible. They will not read their word. I'm coming down early. How about that today? And if you don't know anybody with a bad attitude, you're probably the person with a bad attitude. We got to get rid of these attitudes if we want to become these right attitudes. This is the front door beatitude, is this very first one that Jesus is teaching to become citizens of the kingdom. We've got to get these 8 ways of living to please God, which will invoke the blessing of God. You want to live a blessed life? Jesus is saying, here's how. Here's how. You want to have God's favor upon your life? Jesus is saying, this is how you do it. And it's living out these, becoming these attitudes that he's wanting us to do. So chapter 5, verse 1, and he says this, if you have it on the screen, he says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Now let's just stop right there. Jesus is on the mount there, right, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. It's a beautiful place, pretty big hill. They got a whole place set up where Jesus did this teaching. And we sat down, and I actually got to teach on these Beatitudes right where Jesus was teaching. It's fun. Beautiful scenery, beautiful, overlooking the lake. But I want you to see what Jesus did. Jesus, seeing the multitude, he goes up and he sits down, which was the posture of many rabbis when they were teaching. And the Bible says that their disciples saw Jesus sitting down and they came to him. The first thing about a disciple is a disciple will separate themselves from the crowd. Yes. The multitude and the crowd was looking at each other, but the disciples had their focus on Jesus. They saw Jesus walking up and separating himself from the crowd to sit down. Scripture says the disciples said, hey, Peter, come on. Let's get away from the crowd. Let's get away from the multitude of what everybody else is doing. Let's get away from regular church people. Let's get away from regular religious people. And for me and my house, we're going to follow Jesus. Everybody else is looking at one another and what they're wearing and what they're talking about, who they're voting for, what they're posting. But Peter said, my eye's on Jesus, and Jesus is going up the mountain. So come on, boys, let's go with him up the mountain. Disciples will separate themselves from the multitudes. Second thing is disciples are willing to climb higher. A disciple is willing to put in some work and grind and go uphill and climb higher. Those of you that are new to the faith, and we've got so many that are new to the faith, and I thank God for you. Love seeing you here, Andrew. Amen. I thought you were gone this weekend, buddy. Amen. You're here, and Royce is another one. So many of you just got saved. Listen to me if you're new to the faith. This is going to be for you this next few weeks. I know it's summer, but try to catch them if you're not here. Because God don't want you to become, and don't want me to just become a church person. This series is not about making us feel good. It's challenging us to become followers of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he says he's a new creation. No, he becomes a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. See, that has to happen. Don't settle. Don't become one of these regular church people that just, some of you might be coming to church for years and you've kind of slipped into that. I've done that. It's easy to do that. We're like water. I mean, water is very lazy. If you've got a leak on your roof or anything, water will always find the lowest place to go. Water is just, it's the lowest place. How many know our flesh just likes to do nothing? How many know it's easy to gain weight? I can outgain anybody up in here. Because when we was in South Africa, they had some delicious meals. Boy, I tell you, thank the Lord. It's so easy to just eat and just gain weight. It's so easy to go downhill. Here's the disciples going uphill. It's easy to go downhill. We have the bare dunes on the sand dunes on the west side of the state. Maybe some of you are planning on going there for your summer vacation. It's beautiful over in Saugatuck, Douglas, South Haven, over on that side of the state. We have these giant sand hills. They're huge. How many's ever been there? They're huge. You can rent dune buggies and all of that. Well, people travel there and go there so they can go down that steep hill. It's huge. And it's so fun going down. You run and you tumble, and it's fun. But when you get to the bottom, people look like ants. And here's the thing. Everybody tries to climb it. And you can't climb it unless you are ready to work. So they got these signs that are halfway up and says, if you need rescuing, call this number. By the way, it costs $3,000. Help us. It's the same way spiritually. It's easy to go downhill. It's easy to get busy with summer and throw your scripture reading and your devotion time out the window. It's easy to quit praying. It's easy to go back to the flesh. The flesh loves to go downhill. The flesh loves to go down because it's easy to go downhill. But when you turn around and say, I'm going to put in some work, I'm going to grind, I'm going to put the flesh down, and I'm going to seek, I'm going to follow my Jesus because he's going up the mountain, it's going to not be easy for you to do. Here's the thing, but you can call Jesus and he won't charge you $3,000. He'll give you the grace and strength to help you get up. But you know what? I must be real with you. Climbing will cost you. Climbing may cost you some friends. Climbing may cost you a little something to get back up that mountain. But God is calling us to go up on that mountain. Remember Aaron? God told Aaron and Moses to come to the mountain. I taught you this before. The Bible says Moses went up, but Aaron stayed back down with the people partying. And what happened? He created his own version of Jesus, a golden calf. Because if we don't go to the top of the mountain and we stay with the crowd, the image of God changes in us, and we will create our own religion. We will create our own Jesus. We'll even find somebody on social media that agrees with that kind of Jesus. The Bible says everybody rallied around that golden calf and said, come on, let's begin. And they begin to do a praise party to the wrong God. Because if we stay at the foot of the mountain, our image of God changes. But if we go to the mountain, we are changed. So this series starts off with Jesus teaching us some things. Because we need to become children of God. We need to become these attitudes. It's more effective in our witness. When we were in South Africa, one of the things that our missionary does, which by the way, you guys are going to meet missionary Charles and Tammy. They're going to be with us for our next missions month in March. And so you guys will be able to meet these guys. Awesome people. God called him to build churches in Africa when he was 7 years old. He's from Alabama. He's just an Alabama dude. Loves Jesus, biscuits and gravy. Amen. 7 years old, Jesus called him while he was out in the back pulling nails out of wood, for his dad would always give him that when he got home from work. He's back there with a hammer, and he heard God. It wasn't audible, but it was in his spirit. And he says, you're going to build churches in South Africa. It was so loud, he put the hammer down and looked around. He went into the house and said, Mom, I think God just spoke to me and said, I'm supposed to go to South Africa. She was, you're going where? But his mama confirmed that and said, we're going to see if God does that. A few years later, he began to follow, got a degree in building and engineering, and now he's built over 500 churches in South Africa. One of the things he does is when we build these tabernacles, he hires some of the people from the village, some of the village people. Okay, not village people. Some of the people from the village, keep going, all right. Some of the people from the town, the village, and they come. We really didn't need the help. We had a working team. And yes, women do work. Pastor Isaac, and last time we went, same thing. They just can't believe how these women, Allison and Stacy and these ladies and Jackie, all you got, all women, just, hey, we work. So they hired these young men. I told Charles, I said, we're not going to need them. Where do you see our group? And we got off the plane, and he's looking. He saw LaDon, he saw Paul, he saw Rob. He was like, ah, I got you. We're going to have no problem. But he does that not for because we need the help. He does it so we can build relationships with them while we build. So we can be attitude. We have the, and they get to see what kind of attitude we have. Because you really get to see what kind of attitude a person has when they're doing some work. Everybody looks good up in here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll praise him in a bath. Yeah, so good. This song. I got this on my playlist. But when you get home and Jesus. What's going to come out when you're working? What's going to come out when you don't feel the goosebumps? What's going to happen when you don't have Pastor Steve priming the pump? See? And so as we're building this tabernacle, and there's a language barrier there, and these people from this village has not, number one, they never even ate beef jerky. Yeah. Dawn, and one of the first people over there to build a relationship was Dawn Davenport. Let me just brag on her. Dawn was over there with her little quiet self. I look, Bob said, look over, she had them all around her. She's getting beef jerky though. See, that's the icebreaker. It was like, you've never had beef jerky. They've never had beef jerky. And it was teriyaki. Whew. But she's also over there, and after she gives them that, she begins to say, hey, do you know Jesus? I got a chance to talk with them. Two of the young men never heard Jesus. We met guys there. One guy's never been out of his village until he was 19 years old, and he went into the village to buy a pair of pants. He's a bushman. And these people just are in their bubble out there. Never heard Jesus. And so we're trying to explain to them sin. We're 20 minutes on sin. Sin, 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 sin. Yeah, they couldn't understand what sin was. It was funny. It really causes you to break it. But here's the thing. But they got to work with us and see who we were. Two of them gave their hearts to the Lord before we even built the church. Why? And our missionary said he loves our team. And I don't care to say it if some other people are watching or from other. We did have another guy join in. His name is Terry from another church. And he was such a blessing. I don't know if he's watching, but God bless you, Terry. You did good. And it was awesome to have him with our team. But our missionary says that there's many teams that come over there, and it's all about them. They don't even want to talk to the village people, the people there. They want to get in, get the building up, and go home. I don't understand that. And I think that pastor, that's on the leadership of that church. That's not what God wants. We are to serve. We should be coming over there serving with a willing heart. But anyway, this is what Jesus is talking about. Climbing is going to cost you, though, church. Climbing will cost you. New believers, climbing that hill to be with Jesus and separating yourself from the crowd, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some friends. It just will. Be ready for that. But the disciple says we're going to do that. And this series is going to help us how to do that and understand that. Because let me just also tell you this. There's a crown when you climb. And that crown is worth the climb. You need to hear that. Hear it from somebody who started this at 25 years old, coming out of a group of friends, and it was one of the hardest things I had to do. But that's how you really know when a person is turning the corner, is when they start to separate themselves from the crowd. It's not that you hate the crowd. It's not that you're better than the crowd. It's not that you dislike the crowd. No, you love the crowd. You're trying to get the crowd to go with you. You're praying for them. But you and I have got to realize that Jesus is, if he's going up the mountain, you got to follow him. We're called to be followers of Christ and to go up there. So get into this first beatitude, the very first one, and I'll have to finish this up next week because they go together, the first two, but the first one is really good. It's the front door beatitude. It's the front door that lets us into the rest of the kingdom of God. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the poor in spirit. What's he talking about? I reworded it, and I like to say it like this. He's saying, blessed are those who know they are spiritually poor. Blessed are those who know, who realize that they are spiritually poor, for they will have full access to the kingdom of heaven. This is not a physical poor, a physical poverty, because this is the thing. The people in Limpopo province are so happy. All they need is a football, soccer ball. I was preaching and I used football and it was not good. They don't, you know, they love, but they love soccer, which is their football. But they're so happy. They're so happy with just what they have. How many know we don't need everything to make us happy? Because you're never going to be happy if you need stuff. It's so easy in this country to do that. But Jesus is saying, blessed are those who realize they are spiritually poor. Stop there. Let's just unpack this one. This was Jesus' hardest job, was to convince people that they were not good by themselves, that they were spiritually bankrupt. Even though they even attended church, the Pharisees, which attended church more than all of them, Jesus says, you are the worst than all of them. You are the most spiritually bankrupt. You are spiritually poor. Why? Because you don't realize you are spiritually poor. So the first thing about coming to Christ is realizing that you don't have the strength, you don't have the ability to be an overcomer in your righteousness. Your righteousness isn't good enough to make it into heaven. You don't deserve heaven. You got to first realize that. That's what Jesus is teaching here. It's the front door of beatitude. They had a guy come to Jesus in Luke 18, the rich young ruler. I'm just going to use this for a reference. It's so good. The Bible says in Luke 18, a certain ruler came to Jesus. And if you read the story, he come running to Jesus. And he asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. What was he doing? He's saying, Jesus was good. Absolutely. But he was telling the young man, if you want to get into eternal life, if you want to come into the kingdom, the first thing you got to realize is that you're not good. Nobody is good. You got to realize that. Being good doesn't guarantee you heaven. Being forgiven does. But in order to be forgiven, you got to realize you are not good. There's the paradox. Because as long as you think you're good, you will not humble yourself and receive what God has for us. Going to South Africa, building bunk beds, doing these great things, watch weekend, these are good things that we are supposed to do. Absolutely. Jesus said, let your good works, let your light shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify God. But our good works don't earn us a place in heaven. Our good works don't make us righteous. We are made righteous by realizing those things don't make us righteous, and we are asking Jesus for his righteousness. That is how God gives us his righteousness. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's two kinds of people. One, that don't think they need God. I used to be one. And their life gets tore up and their life gets all messed up. Why? Because they are that type of person that believes they don't need God. And then they have another type of person that realize they can't do nothing without God. They've come to realize they can't get up out of bed without God. They can't go to church without God. They can't be a good husband without God. They can't be a good father without God. They can't be a good wife without God. That's those that are in this first beatitude. You have to become that. See? You can agree with me without becoming with me. You can see Jesus up on the mountain. You see his disciples going up the mountain, but you still want to stay at the bottom. Yeah. This is for those that want to come to the top. And the first step is saying, I got to look at myself a little different. I am not good. There in me dwells no good thing. I'm not strong enough to overcome this addiction. Let me tell you something. If you're battling something, you ain't going to be strong enough to overcome it. Let me save you a lot of work and a lot of religious practices. You are not strong enough to overcome sin. Willpower is not strong enough to break sin's power. You've heard me say that before, but it's not will. I don't care how much will. I am a strong will child. How many strong will kids we got up in here? And I used to, if you told me I couldn't do it, I was going to do it to prove you I can. That's the type of person I was. But when it come to battling sin and addiction, I could not beat it. Because you cannot change on your own. You need the Spirit of God to help you. Only the Spirit of God can bring change in a person's life. Only the Spirit of God. You can watch videos, you can watch TikTok, you can manifest, you can try all these little things, and it's not going to happen until you are willing to get your butt away from the crowd and climb up that mountain and say, Jesus, I don't know what you want in my life, but I'm going to sit right next to you until I get what you got, until I become what you are, until I get that attitude in me. I want to see, when you get up on a mountain, here's nothing, you see people different. You see people different. You don't see people as Republicans and Democrats and far left and far right. You see people as lost or saved. That's the only two people in the world. I don't care if you got an elephant or what. I got a lion, by the way. Amen, Jesus. That's my political symbol. But you are either saved or you're lost. You can't be kind of saved no more than you can be kind of pregnant. You either are up on the mountain or going up the mountain, or you're sitting at the foot of the mountain saying, preach me another sermon, Pastor Eddie. Preach me another sermon. Let me see another video. No, no, no. You got to get that in you so the Spirit of God can help you become children of God. So these, and we all know how to turn it on. Yeah, we can be super nice. We know how to turn it on, but some of us don't have anything. And when we turn it on, it's so fake and obvious. It's nasty nice. Y'all been there. Here. Nasty nice. Hand you your drink or whatever you order in public. And that's that nasty nice. I used to have nasty nice. Then Jesus got inside of my heart and gave me the Holy Spirit. He's still working on me. I'm still going up that mountain because that dune hill, I ain't calling for help. Hallelujah. I'm too cheap. I'm gonna walk up this thing. Come on. I'm going to walk up this thing. You may have to stop and take a break. Come on, Jesus. Come on now. You want me to now tithe too? Come on. I mean, Jesus, come on. But I want that jet ski. You want me to forgive him? Did you know what he did in my life? God's like, yeah, have you seen what my son did for you? Or sometimes we like to forgive those in our family, but we're not willing to forgive those out of our family. See, 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 that's this beatitude. You got to be willing to sit down next to Jesus and say, okay, separate from the crowd. I'm going to sit down next to you. And God will begin to change the way you see it, people. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to fast forward this. Then he says, we'll have to pick this up next week. Hallelujah. Then he says, you have full access to the kingdom of God. Every one of these beatitudes, he starts with a blessing. That word means to be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Y'all and my people, amen. The 90s, amen. Y'all remember that number one song? When that song hit, it was the number one song on top of the, why? Because people are looking for something that's going to make them happy. Jesus has 8 ways to be happy, man. That was my Jamaican accent because the dude was from Jamaica. Be happy. You don't have to fake it. And some people are good fakers. Millie and Vanilli, that's all I need to say. Another pop star reference. Right, Ennis, we all know. Girl, you know it's true. Look it up, Millie Vanilli, yeah. They fooled everybody. Some of y'all bought their tape in your room, talking about, woohoo, yeah, this is the jam. These two brothers are cute too with their hair, amen. Help me, Dad. God don't want you to fake it. Fake it till you make it. Yeah, I hear you, man. Sometimes you got to grind, but let me tell you something. God don't want us to fake nothing. He don't want us to fake. If you're struggling to get up that mountain, you tell him about it. But if you're, it starts with realizing that you aren't good enough in your own effort. It starts with realizing you're not holy enough. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. And so it forces you to sit down next to him at that mountain and say, Jesus, I want to be. And then he says, blessed are you, happy. You will be happy if you get rid of that self-righteous attitude. You will be real happy. That's the first front door beatitude, is realizing you're not good enough. When you do that, you'll find true happiness. You'll find blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of God. And I don't got time to tell you what that kingdom of God is, because I'm going to unpack it next week. It is the entrance. Let me just put it on the screen. The kingdom of God is everything that is connected to knowing God, which has the big three. God gave this to me. It has forgiveness, freedom, and favor. If you want forgiveness, freedom, and favor, you need to get into the kingdom of God. You ain't going to find freedom outside of the kingdom. You ain't going to find favor outside of the kingdom. And you ain't going to find real forgiveness outside of the kingdom of God. The ability to forgive other people, you ain't going to find it outside of the kingdom of God. You need to be in the kingdom. And in order to get into the kingdom of God, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Who's theirs? Those that realize that they are poor in spirit. I'm poor in spirit. Paul had this revelation, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Righteousness, he followed the law with perfection. Circumcised on the eighth day from the tribe of Benjamin. Zeal, he persecuted the church. Righteousness, he followed the law, blameless. He said, but what was gained to me, my righteousness for being a good person, was like filthy rags compared to the righteousness which comes from God. Well, that hurts my feelings. I know. God don't want to hurt our feelings in our inner self. He wants to kill that inner self. He wants us to put that inner self down, because that inner self is what's getting us into our, it's selfish. It's all about us. It's all about me. It's a look at what I did. It's about me. And that self-talk sometimes some of y'all self-talk is louder than your God talk. And it's getting us in trouble. And you can come to church and you can listen to these sermons and you can do all these things, but if you're not coming up the mountain and sitting next to Jesus, it's just religious exercise and stuff. Hear me today. Hear me today. How many's willing to go up the mountain with me over the next 8 weeks? You're gonna go up the mountain. Come on, stand to your feet with me in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Well, we danced, we celebrated. Some of us danced. Some of y'all watched. And you were probably the main one out here dancing when you were out in the world. What's that, rattlesnake over here or something? You were probably over there, hold my drink, yeah, yeah. You get in the church and like, praise him in the mountain, praise him in the valley. When you get to heaven, what you gonna do? If somebody handed you $1 million check, boy, I will break head spin on this. You will be shouting when I'm an introvert until I hand you $1 million check. I hand you $1 million check, you'll be out praising. What was that again? Come on. I'll tell you something. If you realize that you are spiritually bankrupt, you'll get God's forgiveness, freedom, and favor. And guess what? You're gonna want to dance. You're gonna want to celebrate. You're gonna want to praise him. You don't care who's looking around. You don't care what people are thinking about you. You don't care about that. Newsflash, people ain't thinking that much about you anyway. I was talking with someone recently and they ain't been to church in a minute. And I said, listen, man, you need to get back in there. Well, when I get here, everybody's gonna look, notice I'm gone. I said, have you been to our church recently? I said, I don't even know everybody in our church. And I said, everybody else got so much going on in their life. They're not looking for you when you walk through the door and go, there he is, I know where you've been. You know, hopefully they do recognize you're gone, and we do miss you when you're gone. But nobody knows your business. We're just glad you're here worshiping. Just jump in there like you ain't missed a Sunday. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because you're here today. So we danced, we celebrated, we worshiped, we watched a video, we hugged, we talked, we gave, we got a drink from the cafe, helped support admissions. But now's the time to respond to this message. I know most everybody here, if not everybody's saved, you're on your way to heaven, you're somewhere in that mountain. If you're here and you haven't received Christ, maybe it's the 4th of July weekend and you are visiting for the weekend and you're here or you're watching online, hey, that first step is a big first step for you. You need to say yes to Jesus. Say, I'm willing to reach out and ask for forgiveness and receive you into my life. It starts with a prayer of salvation, a decision to follow Jesus. And if that's you in this place, you need to receive Christ today. And you need to come up and get some prayer. I'm going to ask my altar team to come on up, guys, those of you that are here and able to pray and those that are here. How many would say, Pastor Eddie, this series is going to be for me. I need to come up the mountain a little bit more. Amen. I know everybody's not going to come up here because there's not enough room anyway, but you know how to respond to this in your own heart. Summer's busy. And a lot of people enjoy jet skis. Please go. I got a vacation coming in August. I need it. I cannot wait. God has blessed us with a great thing. Go and have a great time. Amen. But don't skip out on sitting with Jesus. Don't replace your time with Jesus with busyness. You're going to end up losing your joy, losing your peace, losing all that. Become these attitudes. So would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for this most famous teaching that we have from Christ is the Sermon on the Mount. And it's going deep. It's cutting away some of our golden calves. It's cutting away some of our idols that we've got, Lord. You want us to get rid of these idols and become these new people with these attitudes. And it begins with realizing we are poor in spirit without you. We all need you in our life. We all do. Father, let us not forget that. As we leave out of here today and we go this week, let us not forget that, Father. Help us to not just go and tell, but go and be. Go and be and become these things, Lord. And we pray that all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.